Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, a radio show to help you start and grow your custom apparel and promotional goods business. Get ready to soak up some knowledge with the Custom Apparel Startups crew.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the CAS Podcast brought to you by Colt Desi. My name is Mark Vila, and today we're going to talk about how to compete in a crowded DTF or direct-to-film market. So what is this episode about? Right now, the direct-to-film market, direct-to-film printing space, it's booming. More and more businesses are jumping in to the market, and it's really for a lot of good reasons, right? Direct-to-film is easier to work with. It's an easier, there's less barriers to enter into this space. Shops that were doing signs before, or small businesses maybe starting up and getting into direct-to-film, and they're really being put on the same level as larger shops. It's really tightening up that gap on the quality of the apparel that's produced and even the speed it could be produced. So with a low barrier to entry, production-friendly equipment, for under $15,000, you can get production-friendly equipment. And you have full digital apparel that looks great, feels great, washes. It's relatively, quote, easy to use. It doesn't take as long to learn or master as something like screen printing would take. So if you're feeling a squeeze on price, overwhelmed by competition, or just stuck on how to grow your business, this episode's for you. So let's go ahead and talk a bit about how to compete in a crowded direct-to-film market. So why does it feel crowded, right? There's a difference between how crowded the market is and how crowded it feels. Two different things. And I think that one assumption to make is that it's not as crowded as you think it is. And I'll tell you why. For one, I know custom t-shirt businesses are definitely more common than they were even just 5-10 years ago, right? But a majority of these businesses that have started up are very, very small startups, or they are folks who are actually just using something like a Cricut in their house. Everyone has a friend or a cousin that has, a small printer or something like that. But as far as actual professional t-shirt printers out there, it's not so crowded that there's not room in the market to grow. That's for sure, right? But if you look online, if you look at social media, people seem like they're particularly busy. They seem like they're a big business or whatever it might be. But we all know that what we see on social media, what we see with websites, whatever it is, people can appear a lot bigger than they are. So not everybody out there that is a direct-to-film printer or a t-shirt shop or whatever you want to call it is necessarily a threat or even exists much in your business at all. Right, so that's something really, really important to consider. Okay, and then customer expectations are in a weird space nowadays too, right? And the reason why I say that is, with as easy as it is to communicate, social media, all of these things, consumers are educated, right? And they'll come to you, why is your shirt $30? I heard I can get one for $15. I saw a place online that sells them for $5.99. So you kind of hear all these stories out there, but again, it's not all the same. Marketing is definitely tricky. A really great example, it's not direct to film actually, but it's embroidery. And I found this to be really interesting, was that somebody had said to myself or one of my coworkers, I forget how it got brought, but they had said, hey, there's a place online that sells embroidered puff Richardson hats for like $9, right? How can I possibly compete with that? So we were like, well, that's really interesting. That's like, how can they possibly make any money doing that, especially doing small orders? So we go and we kind of research, we find the company, we go online, we go to place an order. Well, yes, it was $9 for the hat, right? That only included something like 1,000 stitches, right? Which is unrealistic, right? If you know about embroidery, 1,000 stitches is nothing. That's a micro little monogram. That's not even enough to do a small Colt Desi logo, just the letters, right? A logo like this is at least going to be 5,000 or so stitches. So every $1,000 above that was more money. There was also a setup charge, which was particularly large. I think it was like $125 or $150 for a setup charge. Then there was an art conversion charge, et cetera, et cetera. By the time you added it up, it was $26 a hat, I think, to do 40 of them. I forget the exact numbers, but it was something really large. I may have spoken about this on another episode before, but it was a couple of years ago. But the story had come to mind because not everything is what it seems, right? So when you hear about really low prices or you hear about things in the market, it might not actually be reality. So for one, why it feels crowded is different than reality. So you should not give up if you're, let it get in your head, right? That's a really, really important thing. Don't let that trash get in your head that I keep hearing about this, that I keep hearing about that. That's a problem that we have nowadays, right? And if you follow politics, if you follow sports, whatever it is, there's all this speculation, there's all this head trash out there, but really day to day, probably not affecting you, probably not affecting your business, right? So don't allow head trash get in there. However, there is some truth to it, right? It is a more crowded market, and that's why we're going to talk about how you can help get beyond that. But there is some more good news. So I put some notes in my notes here. I put the good news. So let me make sure I got through all those. For one, as I mentioned, just because everyone's cousin makes a t-shirt doesn't mean that they're good at it. Doesn't mean that they're going to be doing it even a month from now or 6 months from now. All right. Most side hustlers give up, right? They give up for a bunch of reasons, right? It's not their main job. Maybe they get a promotion at their main job, or they run out of time, or they have a baby, or they get divorced. You know, there are a million reasons why side hustlers, the people who are doing this part-time, don't last very long. So if you lost business to somebody's cousin, chances are when there's a reorder to come up, they might not even be in business anymore. Okay. Now, also, the business isn't easy, right? I said earlier, you know, that direct to film printing was easy, right? And you have to use quotes on this. If you can hear and see the air quotes, it's really important to mention why it's easy and it's not easy. Okay. So what I'll say is, if you wanted to do a t-shirt that has, I don't know if you can see it behind me, but there's this, if you're watching the video, I'm pointing to a gator image we have, right? And if you go to coldesi.com into our direct-to-film area, you can probably find that gator around. It's a ton of colors in there. So, and a very experienced, intelligent screen printer who knows how to do artwork could say, I can achieve that artwork with screen print, right? They would say that. Because there's a lot of interesting things they could do. There's halftoning and separating of colors, and there's all types of tips and tricks and effects you can make to make just a few colors look like a lot. However, they did not learn how to do that overnight. And if you're a screen printer, you know, it took you a while to master that. Now you may be fantastic at it, but I bet your first, your 10th, your 50th time doing it might not have been that great. So direct to film printing is easy because in your first attempt, you can get a really nice high quality piece of art output. Okay. But the business is not easy. And you know that. That's why t-shirts are expensive. That's why there is a good margin, right? The cost of a blank t-shirt we know is only a few bucks. The cost to print a direct-to-film transfer we know is change. And why is a t-shirt worth $15, $20, $30 if it only costs a few bucks to make? And it's because it's not that easy, right? It's work, just like everything else. I know how to change out a light switch on the wall, right? That's easy. However, that's way different than being an electrician, right? So there's a difference between being able to run the shirt maybe once or run a handful of shirts versus owning a business. And another thing, talking about that barrier to entry being adjusted a little bit. Like I said, it's $15,000 is a reasonable number to get a production-friendly direct-to-film printer. But that barrier is still large enough that not just everybody can do it, okay? So it's not for everybody. There's a good amount to learn. There's some money to invest. There's space. There's a lot of things to invest. So not everybody is doing it. So if you're looking to get started, there's definitely money to be made. If you already have an existing business and you're fighting some competition, we'll talk about how you can do better and you could still make money, probably make more money than you ever have before. Okay. And then the last piece of good news is you can still, nowadays, you can still, and maybe easier than ever, produce a high quality custom logo piece of apparel for the same price or cheaper than somebody would go buy a similar garment at the store. So if somebody goes to a place like Dick's Sporting Goods, or they go to the mall, or they go to Nike, whatever it is, and they buy a nice quality shirt like what I'm wearing now, if you're watching the video, that you know, kind of a sports type of apparel polo, just blank, right, at the mall, they will be spending $25, $30, $50, $60, right, on a shirt like this, right? And if you go around to businesses and look at people and see, you'll see them wearing those shirts, an Under Armour or a Nike shirt that they spent $50, $60 on somewhere. And you know, if you're in this business, if you're not, then you're learning now, that you could produce a very, very similar quality garment with their logo on it for less than half that price, mark it up double, and they are able to get their logo on a shirt cheaper than shirts they would buy at the mall, right? So that is really still a great piece of good news. There's a lot of business still to be had out there. So next thing I want to talk about, that's all the good news. The next thing we'll talk about are traps to avoid. These are the initial traps that you'll hit that are actually causing problems with being profitable and competing in a busy marketplace. And I didn't make these up, by the way. These are things that I've learned all from talking to business owners, from obviously doing research online over many years. But these are very, very common things that we hear. And also the hurdles that people have crossed, right? People have talked to us here, whether it has to do with the podcast or at Codesi, or folks come in for training on equipment, and we talk to them about their business, ask them questions. And these are things we run into. So for one, racing to the bottom of price will never get you anywhere, right? Now, there are some businesses that live off of being the cheapest they possibly can, but they are chasing that razor thin margin constantly. And if that's your business, then that's your business, right? But most businesses are not that, okay? That's actually an extremely small percentage of businesses that are racing to the bottom. So what will happen with that is chances are, because you might not be the extreme efficient person that can run a business off of razor thin margins, if that's not you, then you're always going to be beat on price. And there's a quote that I love that, I'll be honest, I cannot remember who said it right now. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to have to look that up. But there's hardly anything in this world that some man cannot make a little worse and sell a little cheaper. I'm Googling that right now. So you're going to hear the keyboard. Hardly anything in this world that some man cannot make cheaper. Let's see if I can get that. John Ruskin. Okay, I have given him his fair credit. So John Ruskin said that. And actually, the full quote, which I like, there's another piece to it too. It actually talks about buying products. There's hardly anything in the world that cannot be made a little worse and sold a little cheaper. And those who consider price alone are that man's lawful prey. So I actually love that, because that's so true. And we see it in the t-shirt market all the time. These shirts that are just incredibly bad. They feel bad. They wash bad. They look bad. Everything about them is terrible. So you're never going to compete with that person. And it's not worth your effort. Okay. Another is undercharging, because you actually don't know your costs and how they break down and your true margins. And that's a problem where folks that feel like they're competing, they are potentially undercharging for their product and not making very much money. They working too many hours, not actually making that much money. So I work 50, 60 hours a week, and I'm barely keeping the business going. Well, chances are, most of those folks don't truly know their numbers, right? So consider all of your costs, not just how much ink and film and the blank t-shirt, right? But you have to do all of the math. Like, write this stuff down. Have somebody help you. If you're not great with the numbers, you should have an accountant and ask them, say, hey, can you help me figure out some costs, right? And they know numbers. So they're going to say, okay, well, you pay me, you know, $1,000 a year or whatever it is. You have this piece of software. You have a website that has fees on that. You have a renewal of the domain. You have a Google business account you're spending, you know, $50 a month for, or hundreds a month for if you have multiple employees, rent. You have all these costs. You want to add all that up for your business and understand what does it truly cost to run your business. And you need to be charging a margin that's proper, right? Okay. Another common trap. So that's a trap for sure. And we see it all the time. And it feels like you're competing and you can never get anywhere. And really, you're fighting yourself. Another is not having systems, right? And I mean a system in place to make sure your business runs well. Okay, so you don't have proper business workflows. You don't have a pricing structure. If somebody comes in and they want a hoodie, I want a zip up hoodie. You've never done those before. You don't have a proper structure on how you're going to charge them. You don't have schedules of when work is done, right? I do emails here. We do production here. We do meetings here, deliveries here. You need to have some sort of structure and schedule, not only to doing all the production and dealing with customers, but doing maintenance, doing accounting, all that. Also, no delegation, right? This is a trap. This is a huge trap for business owners. Is you may start it yourself, right? Or you and your husband, wife, whatever. You start the business, and you're getting going. You're making some money. Things are going pretty well. Now, all of a sudden, you are trapped in everything. You have infinite hats on. You're doing the books, all that stuff. You've got to delegate these things out. So I talked about having an accountant earlier. If you're still doing your own books and you're trapped in your business and you don't know why you can't ever get ahead and it feels like competition squishing you, well, can you hire an accountant to do those books for you? Right? A fractional accountant, somebody that does it part-time, especially for small to medium-sized business. You don't need a full-time person necessarily. You know, ask around for somebody, ask other business owners, but find somebody. That's really important. Another is not having a CRM, right? Or a customer relationship management software. Somewhere to keep track of your customers, your orders you're working with them, communication. So you need some sort of order tracking, workflow, all of these little systems help you to create, be efficient, compete, be profitable, and essentially, you know, just outdo everybody else. So, and the last, you know, just I said, it kind of goes back to some of this, but trying to do it all, right? The artwork, the printing, the packaging, the selling, need efficiency, you need delegation. So those are all the traps that we're talking about. If any of those have rung true to you, yep, I do it all. You know, nope, I don't have any software to help me out. Then you want to get to that spot. And I'll talk a little bit more about some ways about you can get there. All right. So now competing the smart way. All right. How do you compete in the smart way? So the first things first that you have to do are, you know, what's your differentiator? Why would somebody buy from you versus somebody else, right? Why would they buy from you? Is it because you can offer, let me get my coffee here. There we go. Thank you. Can you offer custom designs that maybe other places in your area might not be doing? Can you deliver jobs faster than anybody else? Do you offer only a premium quality garment? Is it really just your customer service? You're super friendly. You're likable. Maybe you do work and your husband, wife is a salesperson, customer service, and everybody loves that. Everyone loves them, you know, including you, right? Everyone loves them. And then that's why they're doing business with you. So you need to find one, two, or three core differentiators about your business and then talk about them all the time. That's what everything is about when you're talking to customers. if you can do the jobs the fastest, if your quality of the shirts, if you offer a guarantee, if you have no minimums when local competition has minimums, whatever your differentiators are, you have to talk about that on every single conversation. So the way the conversation will go is somebody calls you or talks to you, hey, I'm looking to get some shirts. I want to get 50 for, you know, my restaurant, whatever it is. Okay, great. Hey, thanks for letting me know. Let me tell you a couple quick things about me, and then we'll put a quote together for you. For one, all of our jobs are done within 3 business days. So I'm going to get you it's Tuesday right now. I'm going to have your stuff by Friday. The other is we do a custom consultation. So we don't just take orders, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to talk with you about different types of apparel, and I'm going to find the one that's actually perfect for your restaurant. We don't just do cookie cutter stuff where I sell everybody the same shirt. And last, everything we do is premium quality. So the type of printing is from the premium quality piece of equipment. We're only selling premium quality garments. And then every output, it is quality checked to make sure that everything is wonderful and yet you're super happy with everything, right? And then also I offer, a 30-day guarantee, you know, whatever it is. But you have to find these things. You have to talk about them and push them to your customer everywhere. It should be in your email signature, your website, your phone conversation. What makes you different? So people think about that when they think about you and your business. All right. Next is understanding your niche. And this is, we've talked about this a lot, and this is kind of this business 101 stuff, but you know, what's your ideal customer? Well, product. Push towards that. Spend less time trying to compete with everything else that's out there. And the challenge is right, hey, I'm a small business owner. Somebody comes up to me and they want aprons. I don't really do aprons. I do t-shirts and polos. That's all I do. But they want aprons. I don't want to turn away the business. Well, what danger zone do you end up going in there? For one, you know, do you know how to properly price that? Have you ever tried to put the transfers you work with on that apron material? Will they work? All of these things are going to add up. They're going to give you potentially a bunch of trouble, potentially a dissatisfied customer. So try to avoid saying yes to things that could be in a danger zone. Now, maybe an apron is fine. It's not too much of a danger zone. But if they ask you for embroidered aprons and you don't offer embroidery, and now you're considering that maybe I'll outsource that to somebody else, you have to decide, is the risk worth the reward? Right? And maybe if it's 10 aprons with embroidery and you're going to outsource it and deal with all of that only to make, you know, $100 or something like that, or a few hundred bucks, maybe it's not worth it to do that. And at that point in time is when I would just say, hey, actually, no, an embroidery down the road, let me hook you up. So consider, find your niche, stick to it, and own that niche market that you have. Like, and what I mean by own it is your business card should feel like it. Your website should feel like it. The personality of your business, all the branding, it all should feel and match that niche market. It's really, really important. And it will help to differentiate you. And both of those two above, the differentiators and the niche, are going to let you charge what you're actually worth. And this is, and it's funny that we're talking about how to compete in the market. And one of the answers is charging what you're worth. But it's actually true, because what happens is really what we're not talking about competing truly, because that's not the root issue here. The root issue is you are worried you're not going to make enough money. You're worried you're going to go out of business. You're worried you're not going to pay the bills. You're worried you're not going to hit your goals. You're planning on passing this business down to the next generation in your family. You're worried that it's not going to be around. That's all of the problems, right? And then we define that the cause of what we're saying is I'm worried about competition. But really what I'm worried about are going out of business, not making money, all of those things. So the solution is making money, right? It's staying in business. It's keeping your value up. It's staying profitable. It's staying relevant. Those are the actual solutions to competing, because that's the core problem. The core problem is how am I going to make money? So you have to charge what you're worth. When you have, if you have a good niche market, you have ideal customers, you have differentiators that set you apart, that's going to allow you to charge the right price. So if somebody comes to you and says, and you say, well, I charge X amount of dollars for this order, and they would say, oh, okay, the person down the road will do it for 20% cheaper than that. Completely understand. What I'm offering you, though, is I get it done in 3 days. I have super premium quality apparel, and I'm not just going to cookie cutter put you in just any shirt. That might not be best for the example I used before, the restaurant business. I know what they sell and I know what they do. And if price is all that matters, then yes, that's going to be 20% cheaper. But I think you'd like apparel for your restaurant that is going to last, that's going to keep looking good, that your servers and people working in the restaurant can see that this is a nice place, it's clean, and the people look great there. And I think that's what you want, because ultimately you want people to keep coming back to your restaurant, not find the cheapest uniforms possible, right? And that's a conversation you're having with your customer that allows you to charge that 20% more and stay relevant and be brand. Okay, the next part of this is tightening production. Okay, the reason why this is important is if you're a master of the production, and what I mean by that is initial conversation with the customer all the way to deliver happy customer and follow-up, that whole process. If you master that whole process, you are going to be in the top 10% of the industry, maybe top 5% of the industry. And the reason why I say that is because when we survey people and we talk about their processes, more than half of them don't have a true process at all, right? And that might be you listening to this. Like, you're like, yeah, I mean, I take an order and then I fulfill it and bring it. I mean, that's not truly a process. So you want to dial in each little piece. This is how I create orders. This is how I accept orders. This is how they go into production, and so on and so forth. All the way till 1 week later, I call up the customer and see how things are going. 2 weeks later, I send them a thank you note, right? So learn everything about how to tighten your production, your pre-process and pre-step setup steps. Maybe batching jobs together. So you do all your actual printing and production work during a chunk of the day. Designing work zones or spaces. You know, this area is a clean zone. This is the printer. We don't eat lunch or drink coffee in this area. This area is the output zone. This is where we're boxing everything up and getting it for the customer. We need to have the business cards and the thank you notes. All that stuff is here. Get things in the zones. Have checklists. Checklists for maintaining your equipment. Checklists for the final quality control before you deliver to the customer. Okay. This means less mistakes, faster delivery, less waste. That's a huge one, right? 100% you've thrown away some apparel because of a big mistake. Chances are you've thrown away big boxes, hundreds if not thousands of dollars worth of messed up apparel, messed up transfers, messed up ink, whatever it is, right? So the tighter your production is, the less that's going to happen, the less waste you have. And by the way, less waste goes into your entire, profit, right? So if you have more waste and that's part of your bottom line, when you look at your kind of profit and loss and you have, waste, if you have that as a line item, the smaller that line item is, the larger your profits are. The larger your profits are, potentially you can bring your margin down if you're trying to compete in price. So it's very important. Next is customer experience. If you master, I'm literally just going to say the same thing again, because it's true. If you master customer experience, you are going to be in the top 5-10% of the entire t-shirt printing industry. Because, and you can find out for yourself, call around to random t-shirt shops, ask for a quote, do a sample order if you want. You're going to find that a lot of places don't have great customer service. They maybe are not even that friendly. They don't offer anything like, say, personally getting the items delivered to them for no charge. They're not sending thank you notes. They're not reminding their customers to reorder things. They're not sending them a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. You know, happy anniversary from the first time you placed an order with me. They're not reminding them, and 6 months later, hey, you own a restaurant, you ordered uniforms 6 months ago. My recommendation is to refresh uniforms. Go ahead and take a look around and see how the logos and the shirts look for everybody. If they're stained or ruined, I'd be happy to do reorder for you. All of these are great little things that will truly help you be great at customer service while you're also selling. Okay? So friendliness, reminders, letting people know everything, educating people, so all of this stuff is great customer service, and master it. So I'm going to say I don't have any particular recommendation for something to read or watch, but I'm going to say that you should watch some YouTube videos or read some books about customer service, the art of customer service, the art of satisfying customers. Understand that and master it, and that will just infinitely grow the amount of referrals you get and the amount of repeat customers you get. Okay, now we'll talk a bit about, I called this section growing in a crowded space, right? For one, and some of this is a mildly repetitive, but we'll go through it quick if it is. For one, you are not Amazon or Walmart. You won't beat the lower price, but you can offer a fantastic experience and a fantastic quality that will make people want to buy from you / your business because you're not Amazon or Walmart, right? So don't compare yourself to them because your customers don't want to buy from them for a reason. They bought from you in the first place for a reason, and they're going to buy from you again for a reason. Okay, next is referrals. We talked a little bit about customer service earlier. And if you're in business now, you know how, when you first started, how quickly did you grow just from referrals? And I'm going to tell you that from my own personal experience, from experience of speaking to hundreds of customers over the years, when we survey people, especially when they're brand new, how do you get most of your business? Referral. Almost everybody is referral. Very few people say, oh, I did advertising. Oh, it was Google Ads. No, almost everyone says referral. So master that. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to actually say it for the third time now. If you master referrals, you will be in the top 10% because most people don't master referrals. So how do you do it? You have a script or a phrase or a pitch that you have memorized for asking for referrals, and you say it out loud to your customer. Then you remind them again, right? You remind them via email, if you send them a thank you note, you have a card in there. Hey, by the way, the best way you can thank me is by giving me a referral. Pass this card to somebody else. You can also create a give/get program. We've talked about this in the podcast before, but a give/get program basically just means you've seen them before, right? It's it's a $10 coupon for somebody else, and if they redeem it, then the person who did the referral gets $10, right? Maybe 10 for 10 is not right for the apparel industry, but you can offer people a free hat or a free custom design or whatever it might be. You can tell that you waive your design fee on referrals, which might normally be, maybe you charge $75 for a design fee, but if somebody gets referred, that fee is waived. Whatever it would be, you can do something to ask for referrals and do something to encourage your referrals to happen. Okay. Next, leverage what you have. So many people will have a cutter and a laser and a direct-to-film printer, sublimation. They have embroidery. They have all these different things. And then somebody comes to them and asks for t-shirts. And they say, great, 50 shirts, I can do that for you. I'll have them done next week. But you've got all this other equipment that maybe I'll tell you this, it's not running all the time, because if it was, you wouldn't be listening to this. You wouldn't be worried about competition, right? But you're worried about competition because maybe that equipment is not running. If it's not running, it's not making money. So leverage what you have. Bundle products, upsell. You have to try to upsell 100% of the time. You've got to do it. So if somebody asks for t-shirts, I could do hats for X dollars more. hey, you know, for X amount of dollars, I can add a dozen mugs, 144 mug, gross mugs, whatever it is, whatever is right for your size customer and the size of the order, try to upsell. You can also, this is another thing we've talked about a lot, upsell second spots. If they want a left chest logo, hey, for X dollars more in the right chest, I could do names. I can also add the logo on the back of the shirt. So they'll see the logo coming and then they see the logo and the person's walking away too. So think of different ways to upsell, leverage what you have, especially if you have other equipment that's not being used at that moment. Try to find a way to bring that in. Okay. Be the best on the block. And we've talked about it a few times already, right? And being in that top 5-10%. You'd be surprised in how many people have not truly mastered the craft of direct to film printing. They haven't mastered the art, really using their equipment. They haven't figured out how to properly dial in to make sure that dryer is curing it just right. They're doing it good enough. A lot of people just do it good enough to get the output. So I say become a master at your craft. Experiment, practice, play, continue learning. Take pride in having fantastic transfer, right? Spend less time trying to figure out how to save, a nickel on ink and put less ink on the shirt and spend more time on how to make the best shirt that are out there. If you produce a fantastic product, people are proud of what they paid for it, and they tell other people about it. And then the last bit in grow goes back to that efficiency that we talked about earlier. Okay, so set goals for some sort of efficiency that you can add, that you can invest in, even if it's small, right? So, an additional heat press, right? You have one heat press for your first press, a second for you didn't have a second press that you do. Invest in a better quality press. Maybe you have a particularly inexpensive, cheap press. Now get something better, that has some automation to it. Replace that old piece of equipment that acts up, once a week, and replace it with something new and fresh. Get some accounting software. Right, pay a little bit of something to actually do a little bit of the work for you. Get a CRM so you can manage customers better. That hopefully you're managing on an Excel document still, or written down notepad. Get an e-commerce store. Get a way for your customers to be able to actually just buy online, so you can send them a link and they pay for it on the link, and then it's done. You have an invoice and it syncs to your accounting software, and then you just give a login to your accountant and let them do the work for you. So invest in some small efficiencies that could be, and they're going to vary on what that means, right? So the high level of efficiency is get a second printer because you need it, right? The small level is just get a small subscription to a piece of software. It'll help you work out. But these efficiencies are going to, you'll spend less time dealing with stuff, more time running a better business. All right. Now we'll do our final thoughts, and then we'll finish with a challenge at the end. Some homework. Sometimes I'll say grab some homework for you. So the final thoughts are, you don't need to be best at everything. Just be the most dialed in for your customers, for your niche.
Okay.
When you're thinking about your business, think efficiency and excellence, not big or chaotic or the most. You don't need to be the master or offer the entire catalog of products, right? Just be fantastic at a handful, and it really will make a
big difference for you.
If you're struggling to compete with lower price competitors, consider changing how you get your business. This is a radical one, right? But, I'm not a fisherman, but I have friends that fish, right? And if you fish and you go to a spot to fish and you are only catching really small fish that you're throwing back, you want to catch fish that you're going to eat, why do you keep fishing in that spot? Why are you going to come home disappointed every time? Find a new spot to fish. So if you're typically getting business from a referral source or a particular type of customers, and they're always beating you up on price, and they're really a pain to deal with, and you never really feel like you're making enough money. Plus, they're super stressful. Stop fishing in that well. Find a new, or in that, you know, in that pond. Find a new one. Find a new way. And I know that's a challenge, right? It's not easy because you say, "Well, I do my hometown. What am I going to change everybody in my hometown?" But no, you know, find a different way to appeal, change the product that you offer, find a different way to sell, get some different referrals, and pursue some different business. And if you're getting a lot of referrals from a group of people that are all those negative things, well, great. Go out and sell to somebody else, right? Like, knock on some doors, you know, bring some samples to some other local businesses, try to get business of a local school, some restaurants, or join the local chamber of commerce if you can, or small business association, or whatever else you might have, any local group, BNI, whatever you want to join, meet new people, get new referrals. I know, easier said than done, but it's how you do it, right? Or you can start, you could do other things too. You could do paid advertising to try to bring in new business. You can sponsor sports team. There's a lot of little things you could do to try to level that up, but you've got to get a different pond to fish in. If you're struggling to compete with lower priced competitors, you're just competing in the wrong space for the wrong customer for you. All right. And another thing to do in regards to competing with the lower priced competitors, maybe it's too much to do that, right? You say, well, it's too hard to find another place to fish, whatever I call it. So buy some apparel from them or have somebody secret shop that. Spend a little bit of money, get their finished product and check it out. The product, the entire process, everything. See, what can you do differently after you've seen the entire transaction unfold and you have the finished product? Find it. I mean, and hunt for it. I know sometimes it's hard, right? You look at it and you're like, dang, it's pretty good. They were pretty fast. Like, find what's different and really search for that. And then that's what you dive into. So we've got some final thoughts. There's definitely still room in this market. There's plenty of money to be made. We see people every month that are small businesses, boom. We see bigger businesses get bigger. We see startups purchase a second piece of equipment in a short period of time. So the business is out there to be had. It's just a matter of you being great at it. So let's start with the challenge, right? Really, I think there's two challenges in this. One, look at your pricing again. Is there anything you can do to fix it? Right. And what I mean by that is do you have a proper structure? Is anything priced too low of a margin? Do margin calculators in all your different orders. Is it priced too low? Is there one product that's priced too low? And if that's a case, And maybe, I don't want to even like saying this, maybe something's too high. And maybe your price too high. I normally would just say, don't lower prices. That's a dangerous game to play, but do some price competition out there. See who's going. And maybe if you're really high and the margin is really big, you've got room to come down and be more competitive. So look for one thing in your pricing that you can fix. That's one challenge for you. And then the other is, look for something in your entire workflow, the entire process, that you can make better. Whether it's how you invoice customers, whether it's how you pack things up, whether it's how you follow up with them. Look for something that you know is not great. If you have a table that's super messy that you fold shirts on, clean that up. Is the area where you print and press all cluttered? And that the heat press would be so much better if it was on the other side of the room, but there's no electricity over there. Call an electrician. How much to drop some power over there for you real quick? Okay, it's going to cost $500. Save up for it. Put it on a note, you know, put $50 an order aside until you get 10 orders done and then get the power there. Move the heat press over there. Now you have a more efficient area. You're working faster. You're delivering faster, your customers are happier, you're working less hours, you can spend more time making money, right? selling to customers. So those are your two challenges. Find something in your pricing you can do better, and find something in your workflow you can improve. And those are going to be, that's going to be great for the business in general. But hopefully you've learned a little bit in this conversation about how to compete in this competitive direct-to-film marketplace. For one, there is definitely room to grow. There is a lot of folks out there who are not doing it that great, that are busy. So just, you can do better than them. You absolutely can. And the fact that you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about it means you're already on the path. And I'll finish off with a quote that I've probably mentioned before on other episodes, but I think about it a lot. And it was something about parenting books. And they said, what's the best parenting book to be a good parent? I want to be a good mom, dad. That's the best parenting book I should get. And then the answer to it was that all of them, the fact that you want to read a book about being a parent, being a better parent, automatically means you're doing better than everybody else because you care, you desire, you want to be better. So you're listening to this, which means you want to be better. And that means you absolutely can be. So go find the things to be better in and go compete and be a winner in that direct-to-film marketplace. So again, this, my name is Monk Vila. It's been another episode of the CAS podcast brought to you by Coldesi. Please visit coldesi.com. And if you're in the direct-to-film market, give us a shot. Ask for a sample. Talk to one of our pros to get your questions answered. Also, while you're in there, take a look at our UV, flatbed UV printers. Very cool products. I love them. And then the UV DTF, that's like hard surface direct to film. Man, those transfers are super, super cool. I love them. So check them out if you haven't. And if you've worked with somebody here at Coldesi already, ask for a sample of one of those things so you can check it out yourself. Well, thanks for listening and have a good business.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Custom Apparel Startups. Find more info and episodes at customapparelstartups.com. Brought to you by Coldesi. Learn about all the customization equipment Coldesi has to offer at coldesi.com.